Lozov tzitzit. The Torah commands us that when we wear a four-cornered garment, a garment that has four corners, we should place tzitzit on the garment. Four corners on the garment is defined by a garment which is split more than halfway from the bottom, and the corners are square, meaning rounded corners don't count. We wear a talit katan, a garment under our clothing, or somewhere over their clothing, which we wear all day long, which has four corners, and therefore we place tzitzit on it. When we pray, we wear a talit gadol, which is a large garment, which has four corners, and on those four corners we place tzitzit. The word tzitzit literally means hairs that hang out. The hairs that a person has on the front of his hair are called tzitzit rosho. The word tzitzit by definition means strands that come together at the end. And that's how our tzitzit are. We have strings at the end, we have strings extending, separate strings, and when we come close to the garment, then those strings are tied and also looped around and then tied again. The Torah commands us that when we wear a four-cornered garment, we should place tzitzit on that four-cornered garment. The Torah does not say that we are obligated to wear a four-cornered garment. Meaning if a person wants to walk around his whole life the way we're accustomed to be dressed, a person does not have to wear tzitzit. Tzitzit is a commandment. When you wear a four-cornered garment, place on it tzitzit. We like to perform this mitzvah. It's a good thing to perform the mitzvah. So we wear a four-cornered garment, which is obligated to have the tzitzit. Again, the tzitzit are the strings. Any garment that has four corners has to have tzitzit. If a person is going to wear a kimono, right, like the Mexicans have,
a poncho,
then if that poncho has four corners, there's a good possibility that it is obligated in the mitzvah tzitzit. The mitzvah tzitzit, what?
It's a possibility that it's not.
If one of the corners is rounded, or we're going to see that it has to be that you're accustomed to wearing two corners in the front, two corners in the back, that you wear it as a garment, because the towels you wrap around yourself, you don't put on tzitzit, even though they have four corners. And when you wear a scarf, you don't put on a tzitzit, even though it has four corners, because it has other criteria. But the way a towel is wrapped around, you don't have to put on tzitzit. The way a scarf is wrapped around, you don't have to put on tzitzit. But a garment like a poncho, which is usually two corners in the front, two corners in the back, has to have tzitzit. If a person is going to have a long coat, which has a high slit in the back, so then if more than halfway is split, so then we say you have two corners in the front and two corners in the back. If the two corners in the back are corners, meaning they're square, not round, so then they have to have tzitzit. Now, the mitzvah tzitzit is very important. Even though we say that you don't have to place tzitzit unless you're wearing a garment that has four corners, and you don't have to wear a garment, any beged, that has four corners, but the Medrash says that when the Jews were crossing the Yam Suf split for them. So the sea wanted to close in, and the Malach said, wait, they have two tzitzit, these are people that are going to wear two tzitzit in front of them, two tzitzit in back of them, you can't close, not in front of them, not in back of them, you can't close. So the mitzvah tzitzit is a mitzvah which surrounds us, we wear two tzitzit in front and two tzitzit in back, right? On the four corners, and it's a mitzvah which we say protects a person in a time of danger. If a person wears a four-cornered garment and he does not place tzitzit in that four-cornered garment, then he is transgressing. That he's not allowed to do. You could not wear the garment and not wear the tzitzit. But if you wear a garment without the tzitzit, that's an avirah. We said that tzitzit is defined by the separate strings, and that's why we say that a person should ensure that the strings are separate. We separate them before prayer if we have time. If we don't have time, then we don't have to. It's not critical. We make a blessing on the tzitzit. When we have the tzitzit, so preferably we should stand and hold the tzitzit and make the blessing. Now in general, when we make blessings on mitzvot, we make the blessings over la'asiyata. We make the blessing prior to performance of the mitzvah. So Hanukkah is coming up, we're going to hold the candle near the wick, not light the wick, make the blessing, asher kiddushan min stav tzivam la'lik ner shel Hanukkah, and only then light the candle, right? We make the blessing and then perform the mitzvah. We hold the tzitzit, ready to perform the mitzvah. We place it. We make the blessing. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kiddushan min stav tzivanu litatef betzitzit. Then we wrap ourselves. Some are of the opinion that because in the blessing we use the term litatef, which means to wrap. Litatef literally means to wrap ourselves like an Arab, like the Arabs wrap themselves. So therefore, some are of the opinion that after the blessing, you should do this, wrap yourself like an Arab. What are going to be the problems with that? So first of all, we said you should preferably have two tzitzit in front and two in the back. When you wrap yourself, you're not having two in the front and two in the back, you're having all of them in the back. So that's a potential problem. But you see that that's the accepted custom. Some have the custom that litatef, they say, today doesn't mean to wrap yourself like an Arab. Today it means wrapping your body and your head, so the head is covered when we make the blessing, and we wrap the body. When we wear talit gadol, all this is very nice, we could do it. This is a talit gadol, it's big, it could wrap the head, it could wrap the body. What happens in the morning when we wear talit katan? So the Ashkenazim have the custom that they make the blessing al mitzvat tzitzit. The Shulchan Aruch says you can make the blessing litatef betzitzit an a talit katan. The Shulchan Aruch also says that preferably when you make the blessing on the talit katan, you should be concerned for those opinions that say that because we use the term lehitatef, it means that there's an aspect of wrapping yourself with the tzitzit, so you should hold the talit katan in a way that you could wrap yourself and only afterwards don it. That's one opinion. Again, we don't have to worry about it, and it seems like even in the Shulchan Aruch's time, that wasn't the accepted opinion. The minhag was not to do that. Today, everyone learns Shulchan Aruch, so they do it, so it's very nice, it's a good thing to do. But you don't have to do it. If you're in a rush, you could pass on that. We make the blessing, Asher Kiddushan Mimtzotav Vetzivanu Lehitatef Betzitzit. There are opinions that say you should say Batzitzit, there are opinions that say Betzitzit. This blessing is made on the Talit Gadol, and we just said, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it is also made on the Talit Katan. The custom is that when we make the blessing, we make it out loud, and we have in mind that if someone else hears it and he doesn't know how to make the blessing, so I'm making the blessing for him as well. Now, this is only true if you're doing it in shul, if you're doing it at home. So like every blessing, it's preferable. You should make a blessing in a manner where your ears could hear it. The minimum that is required of all blessings is that you move your lips. To think a blessing is never good. That's not good. The only time we rely on thinking a blessing is when a person is lying in bed at night. And it's freezing cold outside and he has to go to the bathroom. And he can't go to the bathroom because there are 6 feet of snow and he can't get to the outhouse. So then there's an opinion that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Rashba, that says he can't go to the bathroom. And you have to drink, you're very, very thirsty. So then think the bracha in your mind and say, God, I really wish I could make the blessing. I can't make the blessing because I have to go to the bathroom. When a person has to go to the bathroom badly, he can't make a blessing. I can't go out and wash my hands because it's freezing outside. I'm freezing here in bed. So then you could think in your mind, this is the blessing, God, I'm giving up to you, and take a drink. But even then, it's not that you've made the blessing. Thinking a blessing doesn't help. In all blessings we're going to see, the minimum you have to do is move your lips, and ideally you should hear what you say. Question still here?
No.
Okay. When we wear a talit, so some have the custom that only a married person covers his head with a talit. Some have the custom that only a married person who's a Talmid Chacham covers his head with a talit. That's the Yekish custom. Some have the custom that you don't wear a talit gadol at all till you're married. The Sfaradim and the Yekim seem to have the custom. I think all Sfaradim have the custom that even children wear a talit gadol.
What's Yekim?
Yekim are the German Jews, Germanic Jews. It is good that a person should cover his head with the talis. It's preferable for a person to have a second covering on his head, and it's also a better way to wear the talis, like we discussed before. But that's not critical. A person could opt not to cover his head with the talis. When we make the blessing, so then it's preferable to cover our head with the talis. There are three mitzvot in the Torah that the Torah gives us a reason for. The mitzvah of Sukkah, the Torah says, sit in the Sukkah so that generations will know that I had the Jewish people sitting in Sukkot when I took them out of Egypt. The mitzvah of Tzitzit, the Torah says, wear tzitzis, leman tizkot yom tzitcha me'otz mitzrayim koyim mecharech. So you remember that I took you out of Egypt, right? The mitzvah of Tfilin, the Torah says also, so you remember that I took you out of Egypt, that God took you out of Egypt with a strong, with an outstretched hand. So these three mitzvot, the Torah gives us a reason for. So on these three mitzvot, we say that when you perform the mitzvah, you have to know that you're performing the mitzvah as a remembrance for that. So when we don the tzitzit, when we place the tzitzit, when we wear it, we have to have in mind, I'm wearing the tzitzit to perform the mitzvah. God commanded me to wear the tzitzit so that I will remember all the mitzvot. That's what it says. You wear the tzitzit so that you will remember the mitzvot. And being that this reason is a reason that's written in the Torah, so we say this mitzvah, the reason is so important, the reason for the mitzvah, that you have to have in mind when you wear tzitzit, a talit, that that's what you're doing. When we wear tzitzit, so we're going to discuss that certain things can make a tzitzit not kasher. And we said that if you don't wear a four-cornered garment, you don't need tzitzit. But if you do wear a four-cornered garment, then there have to be kasher tzitzit.
For each garment that has four corners.
Every garment that you wear that has four corners must have tzitzit in it. Now, when we place tzitzit, so we say it has to be on the corner. Now, what's the corner? Does the corner extend till here? Does the corner extend till here? All of this could be a corner. All of this could be a corner, right? What's the corner? So Chazal told us the guidelines are as follows. The corner of the garment has to be within three thumb widths of each side, meaning I go from this side, one, two, three, and from this side, one, two, three, and that's my corner, and within that corner it has to be, and no less than the space that's from the nail till the first knuckle. It can't be within that space, it can't be that close to the corner. It has to be in between the square that will come out of this much, from the edge of the nail till the first knuckle. You make a square of that on the tzitzit, and within three thumb widths. That's the shiur where the hole has to be. Now today, we buy tzitziot, they have it. The only problem is going to be if the tzitzit tears. If the hole tears, or the tzitzit tears. So then we say, if when you put it in it was okay, then it's okay. But what happens if it tears, and it tears, and it tears? And then you say, you know what? I want to put a new tzitziot. I want to put a nicer tzitziot. That's a very good mitzvah, putting a nice tzitzit. We say you should wear a beautiful garment for tzitzit. Ze eli v'anveil, the pasuk says. This is my God, and I will beautify him. I will do things in a beautiful manner in honor of God. So when we wear a tzitzit, we should have a nice talit. When we have a menorah, we're going to light Hanukkah candles, we should have a nice menorah. People invest in the car, they should first invest in having nice tefillin, nice tzitzit. These are mitzvot. This is how we honor God. That we should have nice. So it's true. A person should have a nice talit. And a person should have nice tzitzit. But if a person takes out these tzitziot and puts in new tzitziot, if when you put in the tzitzit, the hole is not where it should be, so then we say the talit, the tzitzit isn't kasher. If when you put it in, it was the right distance. And then afterwards it tore. So long as it's there, so long as it's within a hole, didn't come out totally, so we say it's fine. But...
And these things that you're telling us is for both.
Yeah, talit ketan, talit gadol. No difference. Now, we're going to discuss that certain things can make a tzitzit pasul. One of them is going to be if some of the strings get cut off. If any string is cut up here, where it goes in through the hole, any cut, the talit is pasul. You should know, when you go to shul and you take a talit, you have to check the talitot. Not every shul checks the talitot that they give you. So if you're going to be a guest and they want to give you an aliyah, you should check the talit. If it's Shabbos, so then you could rely on the opinion that says on Shabbos, being that you can't fix the talit, then you could wear a talit that's pasul, so long as you didn't know before Shabbos it was pasul. If you knew before Shabbos it was pasul, so you should have fixed it. You didn't fix it, you can't wear that talit on Shabbos. Even if you're going to be embarrassed, you're the rabbi of the shul, you're going to walk into shul, you won't have a talis, your problem. Should have fixed it before Shabbos. But if you didn't know before Shabbos, you were on your way to shul, and your talis got caught on a bench or something, and it tore. So we're going to see that certain tears, it's still kasher. But certain tears of the tzitzit, it's pasul. So then we say, ideally, get a different talit that you could wear. But if you can't, so you could rely on the opinion that says, being that you can't fix it on Shabbos, you could wear it on Shabbos. But if it's a weekday, and you're going to get it, they want to give you an ali, and they offer you talis, you can't wear that talis and make a blessing, in my opinion, without checking it. Because I've come across talisim that are pasul in shuls. That the shul just didn't keep up, they didn't check, they take an old talis. Someone has an old talis, he doesn't know what to do, he donates it to the shul. And then you don't notice if the tzitzit are kasher pasul. And I've already found talitot in shuls where up here there was a tear. And then it's not kasher, that's it, there's nothing to talk about. Any tzitzit that's torn up here is pasul. And that you have to check for.
What do the strings have to be torn?
Any string over here, yeah. Any string that's torn up here between the hole in the beged and the first knot, any string that's torn there is the talit is pasul. There's nothing to talk about.
But is it ain't half ripped or completely ripped, like if it's hanging?
If it's hanging, I'm not sure. I think it's okay, so long as it's really connected. I think it's okay. Pretty sure it's okay, but I want to check that. When we wear a tzitzit, therefore, we should ideally have a minute beforehand and check them. But if it's our tzitzit, and I know I checked it yesterday, I know in general it's okay. So if I'm in a rush for prayer, we could rely on the opinions that say you don't have to check it. There are opinions that say you must check it every morning. But you could rely on the opinions that say, no, you don't have to check it every morning, you should check it every morning. And therefore, ideally, a person should have time in the morning, we said, to separate the tzitziot, because we said tzitzit is like the hairs that are separate, and then they come together in the knots that are on the top part. But a person could rely on the opinions that say you don't have to separate them, and a person could rely on the opinions that say you don't have to check it every morning. But ideally, you should check it, which means checking all four corners, which doesn't take very long. You just check to see if no strings are ripped. When a person wears talit katan, so sometimes he gets out of bed and he didn't wash his hands and he wants to put on the talit. So he could put on the talit, the talit katan, he could also put on the talit gadol, and he can't make the blessing yet. Or a person's putting on the talit katan in the shower. He walks out of the shower, he's getting dressed in the shower room. So according to some opinions, you shouldn't make a blessing there. So you can't make the blessing. So we say you could don the tzitzit and you're performing the mitzvah, and when you go outside, you're still performing the mitzvah. So even though in general we say make the blessing right before you start performing the mitzvah, but so long as you're still performing the mitzvah, so you could still make the blessing, because this is over la'asiyatan, for the continuation of the mitzvah. This is, you're making the blessing prior to the continuation, the continuing performance of the mitzvah. So you can make the blessing afterwards. And ideally what we do is we take the tzitzit, we hold it in our hands, as though we're holding the mitzvah, and we make the blessing, and that's enough. Same thing is true if you donned tefillin and you didn't make a blessing. Tzitzit, the blessing should be made by day, from the time that you can tell the difference between blue and white. We know that they used to have blue strings in the tzitzit, dyed with a special dye called tchelet. So the criterion Chazal gave us was when you look at your tzitzit and there's enough sunlight to tell the difference between the blue strings and the white strings, that's enough daytime that you can make the blessing on the tzitzit. Today, they give you charts, they tell you from what time you can make the blessing on the tzitzit. But you could wear the tzitzit beforehand. If you're waking up early, put on the tzitzit. Later on, you'll make the blessing. If you put on the tzitzit when you couldn't make a blessing, and you're going to go to shul and put on a talit gadol, so you can make the blessing on the talit gadol, and have in mind, it's for the tzitzit also. A person could wear 10 talitot, or 10 talit katan, and make one blessing, so long as when he put it on, he had in mind he was going to put all of them on. Mm-hmm. So then when you put on the talit katan here in yeshiva, if you make a blessing, and you wear the tzitzit, the talit katan, and then you run to shul and put on the talit gadol, and you knew you were about to do that, so then ideally you should have in mind, this blessing is going on the talit gadol as well, and that's enough. Preferably what you should do is make the blessing on the talit gadol, because there you can make the blessing li tatef ba tzitzit, which is the classical blessing, and have in mind that that's also for the talit katan, for the garment you're wearing under your clothing.
Does that go also, sorry to ask,
yeah?
If somebody sleeps in the tzitzit?
If you sleep in the tzitzit, when you wake up in the morning, you cannot make the blessing. We say that at night you don't wear tzitzit. Why don't you wear tzitzit? So the Gemara just says, lazman tzitzit. Night is not for tzitzit. So there are two understandings in that Gemara. The Gemara says women are not obligated to wear tzitzit, even if they wear a four-cornered garment. So if your wife gets a poncho, today they sell these nice ponchos for women, she doesn't have to wear tzitzit. And she probably shouldn't, because she's going to look very strange. So why don't women have to? So there are two understandings in that Gemara. One understanding says at night you don't have a mitzvah of tzitzit. So this is going to be relevant for you when you guys get married. Sometimes they give you a new talit at the wedding. Mm-hmm. So if your wedding is at night, you can't make a blessing on that tzitzit, because according to one opinion, you don't have an obligation to wear tzitzit at night. So what are you making a blessing? There's no mitzvah to wear tzitzit at night. So according to that understanding, you can wear a four-cornered garment and not make a blessing on it. The other understanding says that it's not that at night you don't have a mitzvah of tzitzit, but clothing that are worn at night, those clothing do not have an obligation of tzitzit, even if you wear them by day. So that second understanding says that if you have a pajamas or a poncho that you wear even by day, it doesn't have to have tzitzit. But your talit that you wear at night, you are obligated to have tzitzit in it. So those are two understandings in that Gemara, and we don't have a halachic ruling on that. So therefore at night, we don't make a blessing. We don't know. Is it that the garments I wear that I'm accustomed to wear at night, they don't have to have tzitzit? Or is it that any garment that I wear during the night time, that isn't obligated in tzitzit, and therefore I can't make the blessing? Therefore, if a person wears tzitzit at night, according to one opinion, he's performing a mitzvah, and that's very, very nice and very, very good. The only problem is going to be that when the morning comes, he can't make a blessing, because we don't know if he's still performing the same mitzvah from yesterday. Maybe at night there is a mitzvah to wear tzitzit in this garment, and therefore in the morning, he can't make a blessing on the tzitzit unless he does something else. He puts on a new talit. He puts on a talit, then he can make the blessing on the talit, and then he also has the blessing for the tzitzit according to opinions that require. He could take off his tzitzit for a few minutes, go to the bathroom, do something else, take a shower, whatever it is, and then put it back on, and then make a blessing. But so long as there's a continuum, like any mitzvah that you perform, you can't make a blessing just because it's a new day, you're still performing the same mitzvah. Ideally, when a person wears tzitzit, so people used to wear it on top of their garments. They wore the whole beged, the talit katan, on top of their garments, and the tzitzit were on top of their garments, and this is how they remember their creator. It says in the pasuk, you'll see the tzitzit, you'll remember God, you'll remember to perform the mitzvot. Today, most people don't wear the tzitzit on top of their garments. Hasidim still do, but most people don't. And there are those that say you should at least wear the tzitziot outside your garments. So today, many people feel like if you don't have your tzitzit outside your garment, you're not a righteous, God-fearing Jew. So first of all, according to the Kabbalah, you're not supposed to wear not the beged on top, you shouldn't wear the talit katan over your clothing, and you're not supposed to have the tzitziot outside. That's according to the Kabbalah. So if anyone ever bothers you, why aren't your tzitzit outside? You're a Kabbalah, it says you're not supposed to. You have what they're aligned, you don't have to worry. The Mishnah Brura, many people understand that he means that you're supposed to take out the tzitzit. So people might tell you, well, according to the Mishnah Brura, you should take out the tzitzit. So okay, if you want to, you could. You don't want to, you don't have to. The only thing
what
is
the reason
you
behind,
should be
behind the Kabbalah.
I don't know anything in Kabbalah. I don't know.
No, you said that the Kabbalah.
All I know is that the Magen Avraham quotes from the Kabbalah that you shouldn't do it. What the reasoning in Kabbalah is, as someone who knows Kabbalah, I don't know Kabbalah.
It has to do with the goyim.
Huh?
It has to do with the goyim.
Has to do with the goyim? Okay.
And the slaves will get when
the... Huh?
It has to do with other things, but the slave, the personal servant, the goyim servant that you get when you show
them. Okay.
So what you're saying is what? Is that you can wear tzitzit and you can't wear your tzitzit?
No, my roommate.
No, there are many that say you should wear the tzitzit hanging out. I'm just saying there are also those that say you shouldn't. So whatever you do, you have who to rely on. You should just know that the accepted thing between Ashkenazim in yeshivot is that people who are God-fearing Jews today take out their tzitzit. The accepted thing between Sfaradim, who go according to Kabbalah, is that they don't take out the tzitzit. You could do whatever you want and you have who to rely on. You should just know that if you walk into an Ashkenazi yeshiva or into an if your kids are going to be an Ashkenazi yeshiva and you're going to walk in and your tzitzis are tucked inside, they might look at you askantly. Whether they're right or wrong is irrelevant. But what's become accepted in Ashkenazi yeshivas is that a God-fearing person has the tzitzit hanging up. Good, not good. We'll discuss a few aspects of it in a minute. When we make tzitzit, so like every mitzvah, we have to have in mind we're performing a mitzvah. We have to have strings that were made for the sake of tzitzit. Meaning I can't buy any strings in the marketplace. I have to buy strings that I know were made for the sake of tzitzit. That they were spun, they were the process of making wool into string, all of that process was made lishma. How far back in the process do I have to go? Do I even have to go back to the stage where they cleaned the wool? So the accepted thing is that you don't have to go back to the stage of cleaning the wool. The Ramah says that it's good to go with the opinion that says even the cleaning of the wool, it's called niputz, was done lishma for the sake of the mitzvah. You should know that today they have on the market tzitziot that were, even the niputz was lishma, even the cleaning of the wool was lishma. It's a good thing to buy, but it's expensive. Not necessarily you should spend at this stage of your life your money on that kind of hidu. It's a good thing to do, but you should know you're going to pay a lot more money for it. I think it's like double the price, if I remember correctly. So maybe it's better you should have another set of tzitzit, so you have a nicer one. According to some opinions, any garment is chayav in mitzvah. According to some opinions, only a wool garment is chayav midoraita. Of course, any garment you wear is chayav, any four-cornered garment is going to be obligated in tzitzit. The question is it doraita or not? So some opinions say that only a wool garment is chayav midoraita. So a person should preferably, if he wants to, again, if a person wants to perform the mitzvah in the best manner, so he should have a wool garment for tzitzit. In the summer, where a person is going to be broiling hot and he's going to be sweating and wool stinks, wool when it gets wet from sweat or from anything smells very badly. So a person that's going to be on a job or something and he's going to smell badly, so it's a problem. He shouldn't do that. He should get a cotton tzitzis. Cotton tzitzis, so at least you're for sure performing the mitzvah midrabanan. Again, we're talking about the garment being cotton. The strings, we try to make wool always. I don't think you'll find on the market any strings being sold legally, I mean, with the hechsher, that they were made lishma, that are not wool. But a cotton tzitzit, so a person could wear cotton tzitzit and he's performing the mitzvah, and according to many opinions, he's also performing the mitzvah midoraita. But if a person wants to go by all opinions, then it's a good thing, a yirei shamayim should have a tzitzit that's made of wool. The talit gadol, I never saw one that's not wool. Talit katan, what we wear under our garments of today, they sell wool, they sell nylon, they sell cotton. Better cotton than nylon. Nylon, according to some opinions, isn't chayav because it's synthetic. So if you're not going to wear a wool tzitzit, it's better to wear a cotton tzitzit. How big does the garment have to be? So there are different opinions as to how big the garment has to be. If a bigger garment bothers you, so speak to your rabbi. There are leniencies on the matter. There's an opinion that says 3/4 of an amma. There's an opinion that says an amma. Now, an amma means on each side. An amma is a hand's length. How big is an amma? There are two opinions. Do we say this big or do we say it's a little bit bigger? What's known today as the Chazon Ish and Rav Chaim, no, you could look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it gives you the measurements in centimeters. I don't think you have to go with a more stringent opinion. I think on this one you could go with a more lenient opinion because not everyone even agrees that that you have to have a big talit. Again, you want to go with all opinions, so you should get the larger talit. But how do we estimate that amat? Do we include the hole where the neck goes or not? So most opinions say, I don't know if there's an opinion that says you measure including the hole where your neck is. I know of opinions that say you can't measure with the hole in the neck, but there might be other opinions. I didn't get to look it up today.
What does that mean? You measure from one side?
You measure from you have the hole where your neck goes through, you measure from the bottom of the hole. The area of the hole, the part that's on your shoulders, doesn't get measured. You have to have an amma except for that.
And that's length, not width.
Right, length. Yeah. Width, most opinions say there's no measurement for width. Unfortunately, today when you buy one that's long, then they also give you width. And then a guy that's short like me, and I don't have big shoulders, if I want to buy a bigger talit, so I have to fold it. If you'll ever see me without my shirt, you'll see that my talit is folded on my shoulders because otherwise it just falls off. I mean, I can't buy a bigger shiur and it'll stay on me. I can't. The strings. So we take 4 strings. Again, buy strings with a hechsher. Strings that were made lishma. Any other string doesn't help you any. So you have 4 strings that are doubled over. That's what tzitzit are. Here you see 16 because it's made for 4 corners, right? Each corner gets 4 strings that are doubled over. You put the string through the hole and you try to make it even. You're going to have one string that's longer. That string is called the shamash. That string is the string that gets wrapped around. You see there are wrappings here? Mm-hmm. They're called in Hebrew chuliot. There are ksharim, knots, and chuliot. Now, there are different customs as far as this goes, and nothing's too important here. Kabbalists will say all kinds of things. Bottom line, halachically, it's not critical how many loops you make. Our custom is, there are different customs. One custom is that you make 2 knots, then 7 loops, 2 knots, then 8 loops, 2 knots, then 11 loops, and 2 knots, then 13 loops, and then 2 knots. So you end up with 5 knots, and then the amount of loops in between is 7, 8, 11, 13. That's Ashkenazi, but there are many opinions as to how you should make, how many loops you should make. Whatever you do, you're okay. The important thing is the knots. You should have 2 knots here. According to some opinions, these are doraita. According to some opinions, the bottom 2 knots are doraita. But either way, this is important. And it's important that part of it should be wrapped with knots. If a person is on Erev Shabbos and he's not going to have time, so he can make a knot, wrappings and a knot, and for the time being, it's enough. Now, ideally, to make the tzitzis beautiful, so we try to have the loops all be the same amount of width. The amount of space between each set of knots, between the five knots, we said we have five knots, and in between each two knots, there are loopings. So the amount of space in between the knots should be equal. So if I have seven loopings here and 13 loopings here, how are they going to be equal? So I'm going to make these a little bit more separate so that they should be equal. That's considered nice. Now the length of the tzitzit, when I'm done with all the knots and the loopings, and then I have the strings hanging down, I go from the first knot and I measure to the end of the strings, I have to have 12 thumb widths. Okay? From the first knot till the end. And ideally, a person should try that a third of that, meaning four thumb widths, will be the knots and the loopings. And eight thumb widths will be the strings. Now, the strings could be longer than 12. They can't be less than 12. Now, what happens if they're 16 long or 18 long? So some opinions say, still, make it a third and two-thirds. And some opinions say, who cares? Make this four thumb widths, and the rest could be as long as you want. You just have to have that minimum of 12 thumb widths from the first knot till the edge of the strings.
Is there really long? Are we allowed to cut them?
Yes, you're allowed to cut them. According to the Kabbalah, they say better not to cut them with a knife. So that's why there's a custom to cut them with your teeth.
Scissors? No.
You could use scissors. I mean a knife, anything metal. I didn't mean dafka knife.
Oh, okay.
That's a Kabbalah thing. You don't have to worry about it. You want to, so it's not a big deal. Cut it with your teeth.
Oh, okay.
When you cut it, make sure you still have 12 thumb widths.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just measure well before. Yeah.
12 thumb widths until the last part of any one string?
No, all the strings. All the strings should ideally be that long, and that's why you have to be careful when you make the knots. Now, if you notice, we're going to have four strings on this side of the knot and four strings on this side of the knot.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's four strings that are doubled over. When you make the knots, preferably what you should do is keep it this way, that you always have the two sides of a string on two sides of the knot. And in a minute, we're going to explain why. When we have a situation that tzitzis is cut. So let's say one of my strings gets torn right over here, right by the end of the knot, right by the knot. So I have this string going all the way up through the knots and the loopings, but it doesn't extend beyond the knots. My string does not extend beyond the knots. So we say if it's one string or two strings, so that's okay. Why? Because I say, if it's these two strings, really they're only one side of these two strings, right? The other side of the two strings is on the other side of the knot. So on the other side of the knot, I have the minimum, and the minimum, according to some opinions, is two thumb widths. According to some opinions, it's four thumb widths. The Mishnah Berurah says two thumb widths, so you could rely on it. So the minimum length for any string, and remember, I have only four strings doubled over, the minimum length I have to have remaining is two whole strings and two strings that could be down to four thumb widths. Now, what happens if I wasn't careful? Let's say I was careful and I had the two sides of each string are always on two sides of the knot. So I know when I look at this, I know these are four strings and these are four strings. Which one's the extension of which string? I don't know, right? I don't know which string on this side of the knot is represented on the other side of the knot. But I do know that all the strings on one side of the knot are separate strings. I don't have a situation where the same string shows up on both sides of the knot. So if I was careful like that, then
same string shows up. I thought that was the case. One string shows up on both sides of the knot.
Yeah, each string shows up on both sides
right.
of the knot. But I wasn't careful, I could have the same string showing up on one side of the knot.
Twice.
Right, because if I didn't divide it correctly as I was making the knot, I just put four here and four there. So then I could have the same string showing up on the same side of the knot. So then, by the way, I'm sorry we don't have pizza today. I had pizza at home. I just forgot to bring it. The guy brought me a whole bag of pizza and I forgot to bring it.
And I found a place where we can heat them up every time.
Oh, yeah?
At the corner. I bring them, put them in the oven, take them out, bring them right back.
Okay.
Go run and get the pizza.
I was going to call you and ask you to bring it. Really, I was going to call you. I couldn't. I was sitting with guys, right? So I was going to call you, but I never got the 3 minutes. Okay, back to our string.
I finished my prayer 10 minutes before I got here. So
that's about when I was about to call you. So let's get back to our strings. We said the minimum length for each string is 4 thumb widths. Now, remember, we have 4 strings doubled over, so it looks like 8 strings on each corner. If one string gets cut down to the knot, so I say no problem, because that string has representation on the other side of the knot, 4 thumb widths. Mm-hmm. If 2 strings get cut down to the knot, so then it depends. If both strings are on one side of the knot, so I say no problem, because each string has representation on the other side of the knot. The other side of the knot, there's no string that's less than 4 thumb widths. Remember, we're only talking about less than 4 thumbs width. But if they're on two sides of the knot, it gets cut down to the knot, right? So then I say, gee, I don't know, maybe it's the same string. If it's the same string, then that string doesn't have representation on either side, that's 4 thumb widths. So again, when we look at our talis, and our talis gets torn, so if it gets torn more than 4 thumbless lengths away from the knot, I don't care. No problem. If it gets torn up to...
Two?
We're talking about even if it's more, because I have 4 thumb lengths. I'm not...
Oh, okay, so...
We said the minimum is 12.
Right.
But if it's getting cut up to 4 thumb lengths, that's okay. How many strings could be up to 4 thumb lengths? You'll each go to your rabbi. Once it starts getting complicated, go to your rabbi. But what you could know is like this, that if a string gets cut and you have 2 thumb lengths according to the Mishnah Brura, and you could definitely rely on him on one side of the knot, nothing to worry about. 2 strings get cut, even on both sides of the knot, I don't care if I have 2 thumb lengths. My problem begins when a string gets cut up to the knot. String gets cut up to the knot, so then I say, wait a second. If it's one string, no problem. If it's 2 strings, so then I have to ask myself, was I careful when I made these tzitzit that I know that every string that's on this side of the knot has representation on the other side? If I was, then I say, okay, so 2 strings were cut on this side of the knot, but they have representation on the other side, 4 thumb lengths. What happens if there are 2 strings on 2 sides of the knot that get cut? So then I say, gee, I don't know. So I have to unravel the tzitzit and check. That's
even
what
one and one?
Even if it's one and one, and each one is missing 4 thumb lengths or 2 thumb widths, so then I say maybe it's the same one,
right,
if it's on 2 sides of the knot.
Right.
So then I have to check.
Even 1-1.
Even 1-1, because
yeah,
I don't know.
Right.
If it's on 2 sides of the
right,
knot,
right,
they could each be from the same string.
So at this point that you're unraveling to check, at that point you might as well just put new tzitzit on
it. Right, when you put new tzitzit, so you could just cut these out. You don't have to unravel, you could just cut them out.
Right.
The custom is that we use the tzitzit as bookmarks or something, so that it was used for one mitzvah, I used for another. The important thing when you take out tzitzit is not to put them in a trash that's filthy.
Right.
You have to treat them with respect. Anything that was used for a mitzvah, we say put away in a way that is not disrespectful. So that means you could put it in a double bag and put it in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the lulav, when you finish using it, what do you do with it? So you don't put it in a filthy garbage can. That's not respect for the lulav. It doesn't need to be buried. It doesn't need to be buried. If you put it in the gnizav, you bury it, that's the ideal. That's the most beautiful thing. But you don't have to do that. You know, if you're going to learn another daf gemara, by the time you get it to the burial place, learn another daf gemara. That's more important. What you could do is use it as bookmarks, use it for another holy purpose, or dispose of it in a respectable manner. If the string gets unraveled, so we say unraveling is like it was cut. So you should re-ravel it. Some people put a knot at the end of the tzitzit, so it shouldn't get unraveled. Okay. When you cut tzitzit, it's more common that they'll get unraveled afterwards. Usually they close them well. When you launder your tzitzit, it's highly recommended that you do it by hand. In the machine, all the tricks that they say, I don't know, my tzitzit get unraveled. So it's recommended to do it by hand, being that the tzitzit, we said, have to be done lishma, so there are opinions that say, how do you get a machine to do lishma? You should better get handmade tzitzit. I prefer handmade tzitzit because I find that they're thicker and that they last longer, and they tear less frequently. The machine-made ones are usually very thin. Aside from which, halachically, you have to have kavanah, so it's better to have handmade. Any questions still here?
Yes.
It's a good question. Yeah?
So you say the Mishnah Berurah says two thumb widths from the last knot.
Correct.
You rely on that, and other opinions say four thumb widths. And the problem is if it's on both sides, now why is that? Is it how long? Is it because each string has to be a certain length?
Each string has to have a minimum. When we put them in, so we should have a minimum of 12 thumb lengths from the first knot.
To the end.
Till the end. That's when you're first making tzitzit, that's the minimum. After you had kasher tzitzit, and one gets torn, so each string has to have a minimum of 4 thumb widths, but each string, we remember that each string is really represented on two sides of the knot.
Right. My question is, if there's one torn on each side, let's say that the same string is torn on each side, and you don't have, is the reason why because each string, say the same string is torn, is the reason why because each string has to be a certain length in it of itself?
Yeah. Not each side of the string, but each string. Remember, each string is doubled over. Each string has to have a minimum of 4 thumb widths outside of the knot, or 2 thumb widths, according to Mishnah Berurah.
Okay.
Beyond the knot, it has to have that much. Because remember, we said it's tzitzit. So tzitzit means that I have a string beyond the knot. What's the minimum string I have to have? I have to have a minimum of 2 thumb widths, according to Mishnah Berurah.
So why does it make a difference if it's the same string cut on both sides at, say 3 thumb widths? The same string is cut on both sides versus a different string cut on both sides. What does that make a difference?
Because if it's the same string, are we going with the opinion that you need 4 thumb widths or 2?
Let's go with that opinion.
The opinion that says 4 thumb widths. So then you need to have a string which goes beyond the knot enough, 2 or 4 thumb widths. You don't have a string that goes beyond the knot 4 thumb widths.
But using 1 is okay.
One is okay because I say on the other side it goes beyond, on the other side of the knot it goes beyond the knot more than 4 thumb width.
Okay.
You have a problem, so it is.
The mitzvah of tzitzit, Chazal tell us, is corresponding to tariag mitzvot. There are different explanations as to how that works. But lemaase, it's a very, very important mitzvah. Every mitzvah is important, but the mitzvah of tzitzit is especially important. In times of danger, if a person wears tzitzit, it's an extra protector. And if a person doesn't wear tzitzit, then they might just disregard him from heaven. Any questions still here? We're basically finished.
One thing with the talis, so you said the Sephardis, they normally wear it in shul, like even the kids wear it. But with Ashkenazis, they don't really have to wear it until they're married? Or?
That's the accepted custom today. Okay. The Germanic Jews, and I think also from Holland, they do wear it from the time a kid comes to shul. They wear talit katan. The Mishnah Berurah brings that maybe it's better for everyone to wear it. It's unclear why we have this custom. It's a good mitzvah. Why shouldn't people do it? Not it's a good mitzvah. It's a good thing to have even children performing this mitzvah. That's why some people going with the Mishnah Berurah disregard their custom and they put on a talit for their children. If you want to, being that most people here don't have a custom, you can have your children wearing talitot. It's probably best to do whatever shul you're accustomed to praying with, to do what's accepted there, so your kids don't stand out.
If I go against my minhag and I do wear tzitzit,
do wear talit gadol?
No, katan.
Talit katan, everyone wears.
No, not in Morocco. Morocco.
Yeah.
The custom was that only the Torah scholars would wear katan.
Talit katan?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Tosfos brings that some people, Tosfos discusses when they used to bury people, so he says, they put talit katan on them when they buried them. So Tosfos asks, how could you do that? If he didn't wear it his whole life, did they put it on him when he's dead? Maybe this is going to be in heaven, they'll say, look at him, this is the guy who never wore tzitzit his whole life. So Tosfos discusses it. It seems like in Tosfos' time, not everyone wore tzitzit, and you don't have to wear talit katan. I don't think there's a problem with wearing talit katan, but I'm not aware of this custom. We have to verify what the custom really is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time I'm hearing there's such a custom.
Yeah, I actually have the book. They sell the book upstairs in the book Midrash. It's Moroccan custom where it's basically no one wore the talit katan. It was just the tzaddiks.
Interesting. The question is that really a custom? One point that I forgot to mention, if you have a garment that has 5 corners or more than 4 corners, just ask your local Orthodox rabbi. There are different opinions as to whether you have to put tzitzit on each corner or you take the four more most distant corners and put the tzitzit there. So, if you have such a garment, you'll ask your rabbi.
Five corner garment, I gotta see that one.
Any questions? Okay, yishkach.